Good evening. The reading tonight will be on Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. The salt and the light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp to put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that it may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Certainly grateful that each of you is here tonight. We had 198 at 4:45, and considering the fact that this is a holiday time for the university and many of the local people are out of town for the holiday, we think that this is something that's good, well-attended services. I appreciate the fact that the elders are trying this through the month of September. When there seems to be a need, our elders always respond, and I'm grateful that they are responding and looking at the need that we believe is here. You may want to send David Powell a sympathy card this week. This will make four times he's heard me preach today. Same sermon twice this morning, the same sermon twice. He ought to get something out of them today, shouldn't he? We're just thankful to be able to speak on every occasion. Whatever number of services we have, we'll be glad to do what is needed. I always enjoy preaching God's word, and I know that David does when he is speaking. Others may be speaking at different times. There was on a tombstone in a certain cemetery these words: "Remember, friend, when passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me." Whereupon a person passing through the cemetery wrote these words under that little poem: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Tonight I want us to think for a few minutes about the subject of recommending your religion. Can you recommend your religion? You ever really stopped and thought about it? What would the world be like if everybody in the world followed you, where you are headed right now? What would the church be like if every member of the church did exactly what you do and taught exactly what you taught? We've been singing songs tonight about reaching out to others, seeking the lost, winning a soul. How many souls would we win if everybody won exactly the same number that you have won, or had the capability of winning souls in the same way that you do? I believe it is important for us to stop and think about this. The passage that Lucas read just a moment ago emphasizes that we are to be the salt of the earth and we're to be the light of the world. And verse 16 particularly says that we're to live in such a way that people may look at us and follow God. That's really what's being said, that they may see your light, your good deeds, and give respect and honor to God. Is that happening in your life tonight? In order to look at this subject of recommending your religion, I want to ask two questions, one that I've already asked and will ask again, and then an additional question. First, can you really recommend your religion? Is it such that it is worth recommending to someone else? I want you to think about this in three ways. Can you recommend your religion as being based on sound teaching? It's important for us to be able to do that, to be able to take the Word of God and show people why we believe what we believe and why we practice what we practice. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 teaches us to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Notice, prove all things. Can you prove your religion, your philosophy of life, your attitude, ethical attitude toward things in life? Can you give book, chapter, and verse if someone were to ask at least about the basic concepts of your lifestyle? It is said of the Bereans in Acts 17:11 that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica for two reasons. One, they received the word with an open mind. And number two, they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. How much searching of the scriptures do you and I do? We often quote 2 Timothy 2:15 and emphasize the importance of Bible study, and that is in that passage, but I believe there's something maybe more important. Self-approval is really what's being talked about in that verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. Have you studied the Bible? Do you study the Bible in a way to be able to prove? I don't mean just to prove an argument, but I mean to prove in the sense of teaching people and helping them to understand why you believe what you believe and why you do what you do. Is your religion based upon sound doctrine, sound teaching? One woman was asked about something that she said she believed or was doing, and she said, wait just a minute, let me make a telephone call. She dialed her preacher and said, what is it we believe about this? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, prove your own selves whether you be in the faith. Have we got to pick up a phone and call somebody to see what we believe? And maybe are we more interested sometimes in what we believe than what the Bible teaches? What does God's Word say about it? Sometimes you'll have people ask, what does the church believe? We really ought to be talking about, what does the Bible teach? What is the doctrine? What is the sound teaching? That's what doctrine means, on which we base what we believe and what we do. Can you recommend your religion as being based on sound doctrine? Number two, can you recommend your religion as a religion that demands sacrifice? There is no question but that Jesus sacrificed. And certainly we could add to that list those early Christian martyrs and maybe others who didn't really give their lives but gave themselves in other ways and suffered in other ways, like the Apostle Paul in the early history of the church. People who understood what it meant to sacrifice. Can you recommend your religion as a religion that demands something? I think we are mistaken when we draw the conclusion that people today are wanting something that's easy, particularly in the area of religion. I think we are letting other things in life color our thinking to where we think, oh, we've got to ease up, and we've got to be sure we don't have too many demands of people if we're going to convert them. I don't really think that's the case. I believe people are looking for something into which they can sink their teeth and on which they can really take a stand. I remember a few years ago in Carthage, Tennessee, there was a man who was a local merchant. He was a very successful merchant, but he was not a Christian.
he had let it be known in the community that he needed to do something about his religious life. And you can imagine with a successful man like that, that every religious group in the community began to try to persuade him to come there. He eventually came to the church there where I later preached in Carthage. And as he was talking about the decision that he made, he said the difference between the Church of Christ and others was the Church of Christ demanded something. He said, I had people in this community come and say to me, oh, you come and join us and you won't have to do anything. You won't have to give up anything. But he said, when the folks from the Church of Christ here came and began to talk with me, they said, you're going to have to get your life in line with God's word. And you will have to live this kind of life if you're successful as a Christian. And he said, that's what I wanted. I wanted something for which I could stand. I wanted something that demanded something of me. And I really think if we could know the hearts of people today and really look into their lives and hearts as God does, that we would see that that's the case. The people are looking for something that has some demands, some reasonable demands. And God does. When I moved here to live in the Henderson community, the elders suggested that it might be good if I became involved in a civic club and reach out into the community, which I did. And as I looked at all the clubs, I tried to look at them from the standpoint of which one will demand more of me. I think all of the ones that were here at the time and now are good and do good work. But I wanted one that demanded something of me. And I really think that we all feel like that if we're really interested in making something out of our lives. Can you recommend your religion as a religion that demands sacrifice? And number three, can you recommend your religion as a religion that produces service? You may notice these three words all start with S. Soundness, sacrifice, and service. Three legs on which Christianity can really stand. Service is what Christianity is about. Oh, I know we're concerned about our worship to God. He wants us to worship Him, and we want our worship to be right and acceptable in His sight. But even Jesus said in that judgment scene of Matthew 25 that when you do something to the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it to me. And I've often thought that in that scene, there is nothing said about sins of commission. Don't get me wrong, there are other passages that do. But on that particular judgment scene, as it's described, or on that particular description of the judgment scene, Jesus says the difference is in whether or not you fed the hungry and gave drink to the thirsty and clothing to the naked and visited the sick and those in prison. Those on the right did, those on the left didn't. In other words, those on the right were willing to serve. That's what Christianity was about for them. And Jesus commended that kind of individual. Can you recommend your religion tonight as a religion of sacrifice in which there is daily service? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1. Next verse goes ahead and says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's interesting that that first verse uses both sacrifice and service. And he says you present your body as a living sacrifice. Other places, Jesus emphasizes daily service. Take up your cross daily and follow me, he said in Luke 9:23. Now, honestly, can you recommend your religion to others today? As a religion that's based on soundness, demands sacrifice, and produces service. That's what we need to be recommending to other people. And you know, we enjoy recommending things to others. Maybe it's a certain brand of automobile or soap or shoes or clothes or whatever it is. We're always recommending because we're sold on the fact that that's the best. Are you sold on your religion? That it is the best and that it is based upon the Word of God. But the second question that I would ask tonight, after asking the question, can you recommend your religion, is, do you recommend your religion? It's possible to have a good religion as far as description is concerned, as though it were boxed up and stored somewhere and not accomplishing very much. Is our religion worth anything if it's not an evangelistic type religion that reaches out? Do you recommend your religion to others? Do you recommend it in the first place by your support? Yes, when I say that, I have in mind financial support, but I don't just have in mind financial support. I have in mind also time and talent and effort. Like the Corinthians who first gave themselves to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. And also have in mind in that the idea of giving support, vocal support, to your religion. Do you talk your religion up or do you talk it down? There are those sometimes in the church who go out into the community on Monday and Tuesday and talk in a negative way about the church. There may be times that I tell my wife and told my children things I didn't like, but I didn't get out and advertise it in the community. Do you support the church? Do you support your religion vocally? Back when all our children were at home, especially at the time that all four of them were teenagers, I wondered if they ever would really get along with each other. Of course, I know none of the rest of you ever had that problem. But there was one thing that caught my attention. If somebody said something about one of them, they all rallied behind that one. Or they could almost fight with each other, but you better not take off on one of them, or you had four that would defend each other. And they did not get out in the community and talk about each other. Sometimes they'd tell each other what they thought in no uncertain terms, but not get out in the community and talk about each other, except in a positive way. Folks, if we go out into the community and talk to others about the church in a negative way, why would they even want to be a part of it? If we leave the impression that we're a part of something that is not good, are people going to want to come and be a part of that? Do we support our religion in a positive way, financially and vocally? What would our contribution be if everybody in the church gave with the same attitude that you do? How many of us would be involved in talking the work of the church, talking in a positive way, if everybody did like you do? Do you support your religion? In the second place on this question, I would ask, do you support your religion as far as being involved? I just don't think much of a person who claims to be a Democrat and never does anything for the Democratic Party, or claims to be a Republican and never does anything for the Republican Party. I'm not very much involved in politics, but if I'm going to be involved in anything, I need to support what I'm doing and that in which I believe, that which I believe is right, whatever it is. And I need to be involved. You wouldn't want any kind of a team if you didn't have people who wanted to be involved and who were ready to put themselves into the work. I sometimes think that it is a bit of a shame that we have to spend so much of our time begging those who claim to be religious, when they ought to be helping to go out to those who are not religious to bring them to Jesus Christ. And yet, look at the number of sermons that are preached to us. Can we recommend our religion by the involvement that we have with every joint supplying and being there, letting people know where we stand and what we do? Sometimes on Sunday morning, we encourage people who do not normally attend on Sunday night to attend those services. Sometimes on Sunday night, we encourage those who don't attend on Sunday morning to attend those services. I laughed a while back when someone said there were those who went to the Box Springs congregation on Sunday morning. I'm going to have to think that one through a moment. But if someone lives down the hall from you in the dorm, or down the street from you in one of the areas of Henderson, and they see you awakening and getting out of your house after the service is over on Sunday morning, and they know that you weren't up the night before, you had plenty of time to sleep and plenty of time to get ready to worship God, but you don't come, you think that recommends your religion? And suppose there are people in this town that we're trying to encourage to become Christians, and tonight, at the time of the service, they see you somewhere else doing something else, or Wednesday night, they see you out mowing your yard when the service is going on. You think that recommends your religion? What do people think about your religion from the involvement that you have with those that are sick and shut in? Somebody on your street has a problem. Do they know that you will be there, or do they never expect you to come? What kind of impression is made? Can you recommend your religion by the involvement? If everybody in this congregation made the same number of visits you made this past week, how many would have been made? If everybody reached out to serve somebody in this community in the same way that you did, how much would have been done? Can you recommend your religion? And do you recommend it in that way? And do you recommend your religion by applying what you believe in your life? We shout again and again that we ought to be kind, then are we kind? We ought to be patient. Do people see patience in our lives? We ought to be free from envy. We ought to be sure that we do not vaunt ourselves up, puff ourselves up, be struck on ourselves. What do people see when they look at us? Do they see us practicing what we preach? You know, sometimes we say we ought to practice what we preach. Let me turn that around. What would I preach if I preached what you practice? If I preached what I practice? What effect does our religion have on our lives? If you are in business with someone, are they impressed with your honesty? And as you deal with the community in your business, are they impressed with your honesty? Do they know that you will treat them right? Or would you, in some instances, have to wear a sign around your neck saying, "I'm a Christian," for somebody to know? Do you recommend your religion? Can you and do you? This is so vital to the work of the church. Being the salt of the earth, being the light of the world, is more important than any vocal lesson that can ever be delivered. And folks, if we're going to serve and reach out and bring people to Christ in this area and throughout the world, we've got to keep the head of the stream like it ought to be. If you're going to have water down the hill, the head of the stream has got to be pure, plentiful, free from obstruction. You and I as Christians, especially as a part of this local work, need to be sure that we support it, that we're involved in it, and that it affects our lives to where it can be seen on a daily basis in our living. And in that sense, we need to recommend our religion. In a very personal way tonight, I would ask these questions again. Can you recommend your religion to anybody else? And do you, by word and deed, recommend your religion, Christianity of the New Testament, to others by what you say and by what you do? Do they see in you Jesus Christ and what he means to the world? Can you recommend your religion? If you can't answer that in the positive, you may need to do something about it tonight. If you're not living in such a way that your religious life, that your philosophy of life, that your relationship to God is such that you can recommend it to anybody, you may need to think about making some changes. And if those changes need to be made in a public way, either being baptized into Christ or coming back to Christ, please come as together we stand and sing. Within the narrow road, would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with